take your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. As we go on through this reproof epistle, it becomes clearer and clearer how Corinthians is reproof based on practical error that was a failure to adhere to the doctrine and the practice of Romans. And particularly since this is practical error, Corinthians ties in more to the practical section of Romans than it does the doctrinal. As we go through Corinthians, we'll see that more and more, and as we get into Galatians, we'll see that Galatians ties into the doctrinal section of Romans 1 through 8, where we dealt with issues of sex and marriage, other varied related family matters in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now in verse 8 is, or chapter 8 is introduced a new topic where it says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity, the love of God, edifies." This is the topic of chapter 8, is food offered to idols. Meats offered to idols, food offered to idols, and this is, as we'll see, relates back to very specific information that was given in Romans chapter 14. What a great bit of truth here where it says that knowledge puffs up, but the love of God edifies. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, a little bit later on, it tells us that the love of God is not puffed up. But sometimes people, when they start getting knowledge, they start getting knowledge of the Bible or knowledge of spiritual matters, or this certainly is true of natural knowledge, they get all puffed up about it. They get all self-absorbed, they get proud, they sort of can, you know, let everybody know how smart they are. But what is it that really builds another person up? It's the love of God. The love of God edifies. And God is very, very concerned that every one of his kids, everybody in the body of Christ, gets built up. Now, in other words, the church at Corinth, as things pertaining to touching things offered unto idols, the believers there, they had knowledge of this. But what is being brought to our attention in this is that you have to utilize that knowledge in a loving way. That you have to walk with the love of God. And Romans 12, 13, 14, and first part of chapter 15, as we saw in our study, deals with how to love with the love of God without hypocrisy. So when it comes to things offered unto idols, the important thing is that we walk with love. And that's what will be laid out in this particular chapter. Verse 2. If any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. And again, this would be the thoughts that originate from man's mind. You know, well, I think this. Well, I think that. You know, I'm so smart. I'm puffed up. Well, this is putting natural knowledge or human knowledge in its proper place. Natural knowledge, if that's what man knows, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. So the emphasis, once again, is not on what you know, but it's on how much you love. And when you love God, then you have a wonderful relationship with him. Then you are known of him in that fellowship relationship. Verse 4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. This goes back to perhaps as fundamental a truth as there is in the whole Bible. Keep your finger here and look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, there are many, many, many great fundamental truths in the Bible. But perhaps the greatest, certainly to Israel and certainly to all of us as God's people, is contained in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. There's one true God. Not multiple gods, not three gods in one, but here it says, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You can see how I could say that this is the pivotal truth of the Bible, that this is the great truth of the Bible, one true God. So verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 8 says that there is none other God but one. Verse 5, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. Now, from a human point of view, people have had multiple gods. People have had multiple lords. But the great truth of the Bible is that there is one true God. And so, verse 4 again, it says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice on idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. Why? Because there's one true God. Even though there are many that are called gods in heaven and earth, they are false gods. You know, there's really some very wonderful description of these idols throughout the Bible. Look at the book of Daniel back in the Old Testament. The book of Daniel, chapter 5. This is the great feast that Belshazzar, the king, made. I believe this is where he saw the handwriting on the wall. But look what it says in verse 4. It says, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of what? Stone. Here they're called gods. In other words, they worshipped the works of man's hands. What were these gods made of? Gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, stone. There's a further description in the 135th Psalm. Go to Psalm 135, please. You know, now, some might look at this as being an ancient practice, but if you look around, oftentimes in churches or in people's backyards or even hanging from their rearview mirror in their car can be idols, things that people pray to that are not the one true God, things that they worship. Here, it describes these idols, verse 15 of Psalm 135. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands, like we read about in Daniel. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. In other words, these idols are dead. Verse 18, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. In other words, they're dead too, spiritually. They have eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear, mouths that don't speak. Really, verse 18 is sort of making fun of those that worship idols. Those that make and worship idols are just like the stupid rock or the stupid stone or the stupid piece of wood that they're made out of. But there's a deeper truth about idols that is in the book of Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's just, you know, you can say these idols, well, they're nothing. And they're just, it's a piece of gold or a piece of silver, a piece of wood. But there's also a spiritual truth associated with it. Look at verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, "What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifices to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to" who? "Devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils." See, verse 20 rather clearly shows that behind these pieces of wood or stone or silver or gold, behind it is a devil. Behind it is a devil spirit. So when people are worshiping idols, they might think they're worshiping a statue, or they might think they're worshiping, you know, some great carved out, you know, piece of silver or something. But from a spiritual point of view, what's behind that idol? What's behind it is a devil spirit. And if you take the time to work the word idol back in the Hebrew, the Old Testament usage of idol meant false gods. It's exactly what we've been seeing. It also, the word idol has a connotation of a shadow or a phantom. A shadow or a phantom. In other words, that the piece of wood, the piece of silver or gold is a phantom, or it's a shadow, because behind it is a devil spirit. So, you know, this is what the Word of God teaches about idols. Now, this is an issue at Corinth because people, it was pretty common for meat to be, you know, animals to be sacrificed to idols. And then for people either in the temples or in the marketplace to get this meat and eat it. So this revelation of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is giving practical instruction of how the believers are to walk with the love of God concerning meat offered to idols. Again, verse 6. "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." So, you know, let's keep it straight. There's, you know, to us, there's one God. All these other so-called gods, they're just idols. They're just pieces of wood. There's just lousy spirits behind them. And there's one Lord. You know, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not multiple lords. It's one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him, by his redemptive work, we now are sons of God. Howbeit, verse 7, "there is not in every man that knowledge." Now, this is addressing the church at Corinth. Not every believer at Corinth, not every born-again man, had a clear knowledge of this subject. Why? Because different levels of growth and maturity. "For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled." You know, some of the believers were being defiled. It was getting them out of fellowship because they were eating the meat that had been offered by others unto idols, and they were eating it like that, like it was, you know, offered to idols. They were eating it, and their conscience was being defiled. Verse 8, "But meat commends us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse." this is practical reproof given for failure to adhere to the book of Romans. Now, those of you that sat through the Romans teachings, this should bring forcibly to your mind Romans chapter 14. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. It says in verse 1 of Romans 14, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs." Now, this is not specifically addressing meat offered to idols like 1 Corinthians, but it does address a very, very similar situation. You know, different ideas that people might have about what to eat and what not to eat. Verse 14 of Romans chapter 14, it says, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." That's what we just read in 1 Corinthians 8, isn't it? Somebody who esteemed that meat offered to an idol as being just that, considered it unclean, and his conscience is defiled. "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest not thou charitably." You're not walking in the love of God. We're in Romans 14, this great section on loving without hypocrisy. And it's the same way that 1 Corinthians 8 started. "Knowledge puffs up, but the love of God edifies. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good or your freedom be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and is approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may," what? "Edify one another. For meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense." Just like we read in 1 Corinthians 8. "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou believing, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows, and he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of believing, for whatsoever is not of believing is sin." This had been taught to the church at Corinth. Paul had taught it while he was there. They had let it slip, and now it becomes an issue that needs to be addressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I would say that, you know, an overriding theme of Romans 14 in this chapter is watch your witness. You know, happy is the man in the thing which he allows, but don't let your freedom be evil spoken of. If you're putting a stumbling block in your brother's walk, it's better not to drink wine or eat meat, or certainly if that's causing your brother to be defiled by eating things offered to idols, then stay away from it. Watch your witness. Again, verse 8, "But meat commends us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Remember, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man sees thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols?" You know, again, this would be based on a person's lack of spiritual maturity. So they might see you, a more mature believer, offering eating meat that's been offered to idols, and then it becomes that brother's stumbling block. Well, in that instance, it would be better for you not to eat that meat. "And through the through thy knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died?" Remember, our lives are about the edification of the church. It's about walking in love. Part of walking in love is you watch your witness. Verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat makes my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Isn't it magnificent? Isn't it wonderful how much Corinthians ties back into Romans, and particularly Corinthians being practical in nature, reproving practical error, ties back into the practical section of Romans. It's the correspondence between 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and Romans 14 is absolutely stunning.